Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayo Mudirayet Nasta Prayeshu Apadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavachutamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, let us offer obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan, unto Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and to Srila Vyasadeva, the author. By regular attendance and classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious within the heart is practically destroyed, and thus loving service to the personality of Godhead, was praised in transcendental song, is established as an irrevocable fact. I got last minute notice last night. Mahaprabhu asked me to give class today. So I hope that I can say something that's useful. I'll just read the Sanskrit because it's very long prose. Ayena ha vava kalam manu jap sa jap Japasada Deva Maya Mohita Swavidhi Niyoga Shaucha Charitra Vihina Deva Helananya Pavatani Nija Nijechaya Gri Nana Ashnana Chachana Chakesha Luchanadini Kalina Dharma Bahu Leno Paha Tadhiyo Brahma Brahma Na Jagya Purusha Loka Vidushaka Prayena Bhavishyati. This is, we're hearing about Lord Rishabhadev's final pastimes in this world. And we had heard from the previous verse that some king had tried to imitate Lord Rishabhadev, and because of his imitation, without really accepting who Lord Rishabhadev is, or probably not even really knowing, he invented his own religion, which is today known as the Jain religion. Interesting, it's a very big following. Just see if I can get to this verse here. 6, 9. Previous verse was, Shukadev Goswami continued to speak to Maharaj Parikshit, "My dear king, the king of Konka Venka, the king of Konka Venka and Kutuka, whose name was Arhat, heard of the activities of Rishabhadev and, imitating Rishabhadev's principles, introduced a new system of religion. Taking advantage of Kali Yuga, the age of sinful activity, King Arhat, being bewildered, gave up the Vedic principles, which are free from risk, and concocted a new system of religion opposed to the Vedas. That was the beginning of the Jain Dharma. Many other so-called religions follow this atheistic system." Today's verse is, "People who are lowest among men and bewildered by the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord will give up original Varnashram Dharma and its rules and regulations. They will abandon bathing 3 times daily and worshipping the Lord. Abandoning cleanliness and neglecting the Supreme Lord, they will accept nonsensical principles. not regularly bathing or washing their mouths regularly, they will always remain unclean and they will pluck out their hair. Following a concocted religion, they will flourish. During the age of Kali, people are more inclined to irreligious systems. Consequently, these people will naturally deride Vedic authority, the followers of Vedic authority, the Brahmanas, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the devotees. It's these are some of the verses, translations, and purports that Prabhupada, he doesn't hold back. And of course, he never holds back, but these are very sensitive principles. This is not the kind of verse we're going to quote at an interfaith session. I guess, should I read it again, or did you all get the general gist of this? You want to hear it again? Okay. So, Shukadeva Goswami is telling Maharaj Parikshit, people who are lowest among men and bewildered by the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord will give up the original Varna Ashram Dharma and its rules and regulations. Abandoning cleanliness and neglecting the Supreme Lord, they will accept nonsensical principles. Not regularly bathing or washing their mouths regularly, they will always remain unclean, and they will pluck out their hair. Following a concocted religion, I guess that's what some religious sects ask people to do, pull out the hair, I don't know. I've never heard of that. Following a concocted religion, they will flourish. During this age of Kali, people are more inclined to irreligious systems. Consequently, these people will naturally deride Vedic authority, the followers of Vedic authority, the Brahmanas, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the devotees. Prabhupada's purport. It's Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Presently, the hippies in the Western countries fit this description. They are irresponsible and unregulated. They do not bathe, and they deride standard Vedic knowledge. They concoct new lifestyles and religions. There are many hippie groups at the present moment, but they all originated from King Arhat. They didn't know that. They thought they were something very new. Or we didn't know that. We thought we were something new. Who imitated the activities of Lord Rishabhadev, who was situated on the Paramahansa stage. King Arhat did not care for the fact that although Lord Rishabhadev acted like a madman, his stool and urine were nonetheless aromatic, so much so that they nicely scented the countryside for miles around. So he imitated him, but he couldn't get his stool to smell. Actually, they have that saying in the world, when someone's really proud, they say they think that their stool doesn't smell. Have you ever heard that expression? They say that that's an American expression. Oh, he's so puffed up. He thinks, they don't use the word stool, but anyway, they think that it doesn't smell. So this Arhat, I guess he kind of came into that category, at least according to Srila Prabhupada. The followers of King Arhat went under the name Jains, and they were later followed by many others, particularly by the hippies, who are more or less offshoots of Mayavad philosophy because they think themselves the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Strong language, eh? Such people do not respect the real followers of Vedic principles. We have to keep in mind that it was not unusual for someone to stand up when Prabhupada was preaching in Haight-Ashbury, or on other parts of the world where the hippie movement was flourishing, and someone would stand up and tell Prabhupada that I am God. And Prabhupada would say, no, you are a dog. He was very strong. Prabhupada was not holding back. Such people do not respect the real followers of Vedic principles, the ideal Brahmanas, nor do they have respect for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Brahman. Due to the influence of this age of Kali, they are apt to concoct false religious systems. I hope our guests are not feeling too uncomfortable with this strong words of Srila Prabhupada. Is it okay for you, dear? You speak English? Oh, that's probably... What language do you speak? Spanish? Oh, I'll see. Is anybody going to translate? Not necessary for you? Okay. Okay, you just want to pick up on the energy. All right. Om Agyana Chimidandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshuran Militam Jena Tasmayi Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest of ignorance, and my spiritual master is forcing open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him. Panchakalpa tarubhyascha kripasindubhya evacha patitanan pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I decided to focus on 3 points today. One is about the tendency to deviate. The claim that bodily details of a devotee are just external. And the tendency to take on some qualities of great souls without having their essential qualities, just like this King Arhat, he tried to imitate Lord Rishabhadev, but he didn't have the qualities of Lord Rishabhadev. So the tendency to deviate, this is a main impediment in devotional service, to deviate from the instructions of Guru. And this kind of deviation takes many different shapes. In this purport, Prabhupada's talking about deviating from the Vedic principles. And according to Srila Prabhupada, the long-term result of this is a full-on bogus system of religion. And this religion has millions of followers. So according to the Vaishnava viewpoint, according to the Vedic viewpoint, this is a deviation. Sometimes I speak with devotees and they're talking about what's going on in ISKCON, and they, even older devotees and even some newer devotees, they say when they look around sometimes they wonder if they're still in Prabhupada's movement. I mean, I can relate to that in some aspects, but so many changes have taken place over the years. It's not so easy to control all of that. And Prabhupada, in this purport, he was talking about things that people consider external, right? The way people look, the way they dress, the way they... But Prabhupada was, as far as the appearance of his disciples were concerned, he was quite strong about it. He says, now for our practical life, we are known all over the world as shaven-headed. Is it not? This isn't a conversation he was having in Bombay in 1976. I think it was either Bombay or Vrindavan. Now we are becoming hair-headed, he said. We are forgetting shaving because there is a little leniency. Immediately faulty things are creeping in. So we should be known as shaven-headed, not long-haired. Headed. This is discrepancy. At least once in a month, you must be cleanly shaven headed. In the bright fortnight on the day of Purnima, 4 days after Ekadasi, once in a month, in the bright fortnight, you must be shaved. It is not desirable that in grown-up ages also you should be chastised. That is not desirable. Prabhupada was very humble. He said, that is also difficult because when the disciple or the son is grown up, if he is chastised, then he breaks. So before being chastised, we should become conscious that this is our rules and regulations. We must observe. Therefore, it is advised by Chanakya Pandit, prapte tu sodashe varshe putra mitra var acharet. After 16th year of the disciple or the son, he should be treated as friend. Because if you chastise when he's grown up, then he'll break up. That is also another risk. So our request is that instead of chastising, with folded hands, I request you, don't you become hippies again by growing hair. Prabhupada wasn't... Keep your head cleansed at least once in a month. That is my request. Neither I can chastise you. I am also old men and you are young men. Amazing, huh? So that's Prabhupada... there's a reason why I'm bringing this up, because recently many devotees are observing Chaturmash, and it has become a part of the system in ISKCON that in Chaturmash people like to grow their hair and that they don't want to take... They say it's a tapasya that they want to perform. Okay. But sometimes I mention to some of these devotees, I'm really looking forward to seeing your face again. But then sometimes I get different kinds of arguments. One argument that I get is that... that the bodily details of a devotee are only external. But it is interesting that Prabhupada, in this purport, he's making specific reference to the hippies. He said he turned the hippies into happies. Shishuvada Gopinath ki jai. But Prabhupada is sometimes so heavy that he says, anyone who doesn't accept the basic principles in the practice of spiritual life is more or less thinking himself supreme. Prabhupada, sometimes he would address these, like we saw in his conversation with the devotees, he was begging them, but in his purport, sometimes he's like a thunderbolt. And he didn't hold back the details of how he expected his disciples to follow, and especially those living in the temple. And sometimes he even referred to Lord Chaitanya's dealings with his subordinates. I would like to read a section from the Madhya Lila in relation to Sanatana Goswami, that Sanatana Goswami, he escaped from prison, he went through many trials and tribulations, and finally he came to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, of course, he wasn't recognizable. He was making sure he was hiding himself. He was dressed rather in a niggardly way, and his beard was grown, and his hair was long. But Lord Chaitanya knew he was coming, so he asked his associate, Tapan Misra, to go out. And there's a devotee outside the door. Please call him in. But Tapan Misra went out and said, I don't see any devotee there. And Lord Chaitanya said, well, do you see anybody there? And Tapan Misra said, yes, I saw one fakir, a Muslim fakir. And Lord Chaitanya said, call him in. Tapan Misra then extended an invitation to Sanatan, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Sanatan to get... Sanatan Goswami came in, and there was an embrace, and there was so much loving exchange. And finally, the Lord told Tapan Misra to take care of Sanatan Goswami. So Tapan Misra then extended an invitation to Sanatan, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Sanatan to go get a shave. After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called Chandrasekhara and asked him to take Sanatana Goswami with him. He also asked him to take away Sanatana's present dress. Chandrasekhara then made Sanatana Goswami look like a gentleman. He took him to bathe in the Ganges, and afterwards he brought him a new set of clothes. So in this purport, Prabhupada says, the word Bhadra Karana are significant in this verse. Due to his long hair, mustache, and beard, Sanatana Goswami looked like a Dharavesha, or hippie. Since Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not like Sanatana Goswami's hippie features, he immediately asked Chandrasekhara to get him shaved clean. If anyone with long hair or a beard wants to join this Krishna consciousness movement and live with us, he must similarly shave himself clean. The followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu consider long hair objectionable. So, Prabhupada's being very clear here. Of course, I did some research, I have to give this class, so I did some research, and there was one initiation where Prabhupada was initiating one young man, and he didn't have, I don't think he had really long hair, but he had normal hair, that short hair in the world, and Prabhupada said, why aren't you shaved? And the devotee kind of froze and got paralyzed. Prabhupada's secretary, also Prabhupada, he's working in the world. He's a businessman in the world, so he doesn't shave completely clean. He only keeps his hair short. And Prabhupada said, okay, like that. The main emphasis was on cleanliness. I wanted to also speak on the fact that the tendency to take, that sometimes people tend to take on qualities of great souls without having their essential qualities. Yeah, the king that Prabhupada spoke about was he wanted to imitate Lord Rishabhadeva, but he did not have the qualifications of Lord Rishabhadeva. And sometimes the devotees who like to grow beards and long hair, they say, well, what about Advaita Acharya? Advaita Acharya happens to be Vishnu Tattva. And then I was remembering this verse from the Rasa Panchajaya when Shukadeva Goswami, because there were people in the audience that were listening to Shukadeva Goswami speak, and Maharaj Pariksit, he was noticing that these people had doubts that Krishna was dancing with other people's wives in the dead of night. So in order to for their sake, I mean, Maharaj Pariksit knew that Krishna wasn't doing something immoral. He is a devotee of Krishna since a very early childhood, and everybody knew about Rasa Lila. Anybody that was anybody, as far as being a devotee of Krishna was concerned, knew about Krishna's ecstatic pastimes with the gopis, and they didn't criticize them, so he wasn't confused. So he asked this question, how is it possible that Krishna, who descended in order to teach religious principles, can behave in such an abominable way? For the sake of persons who were thinking that way. So Shukadeva Goswami, he said, one who is not a great controller should never imitate the behavior of ruling personalities, even mentally. If out of foolishness an ordinary person does imitate such behavior, he will simply destroy himself, just as a person who is not Rudra would destroy himself if he tried to drink an ocean of poison. So this was his answer. So similarly, there may be great personalities who do things that we're not asked to do, or don't do things that we are asked to do, but they're not the best examples to use when we want to justify some behavior that's not up to standard. And then another argument, of course, is that that appearance is external. But Prabhupada, he did put emphasis on our appearance, especially with those who are seriously practicing Krishna consciousness, that we should have a particular dress code, and he very much stressed cleanliness. Prabhupada was giving, again, this example of Lord Chaitanya, how he felt about Sanatana Goswami. Lord Chaitanya was saying about Sanatana Goswami, just get him to a barber and clean shaven. According to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sampradaya, they keep themselves clean shaven. And only single instance is there, Advaita Prabhu. He had his beard. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never asked him to cleanse. Because one reason is that Advaita Prabhu was just contemporary to Lord Chaitanya's father. So the Lord did not like to dictate. But otherwise, all his disciples, they were clean-shaved. In any case, I was asked to give class quite late, and it was interesting that before that I had had one of my recent interactions with the devotees who don't like to shave and who say that they want to keep the beard even after Chaturmash. And I was surprised because then this verse comes to me. So I thought, wow, you know. Because sometimes when devotees really challenge you, you think, maybe I'm a fanatic. You know, maybe I'm just too, and who am I to be a fanatic? I'm not that great at what I'm doing either, for that matter. But one thing is we have to know that if we're not willing or able to follow basic sadachar, then we shouldn't try to justify it or rationalize. We should just think, okay, I don't want to do that. And then let ourselves be left to the mercy of the powers that be. But it's important that when we don't want to follow certain principles, that we know that I'm not right and that I shouldn't rationalize that. I should just simply say, okay, for some reason or other, and I have to look inside what that reason is, I'm not willing to follow these particular principles. And But we should know what the principles are. We should know what the standard is. Otherwise, we'll become involved more directly in a deviation. By not falling, we automatically become implicated. But by justifying that, we become even more implicated, and that's not good. So thank you for listening patiently. This is all I had to say at this point because I was given quite a late notice and I just kind of matched it up with what I had been experiencing lately. If anybody would like to make some comments, questions, corrections. Yes, Tulsi. Yes, please. I would like to pass this around because I know there's people, when I'm in the kitchen and I'm trying to hear a class, I get really frustrated to hear what people are saying. Let's just move this around.
You know, you can switch it off and then
maybe...
Yeah,
no,
but...
Okay. No, it doesn't turn off anymore. That's the problem. You can't turn it off.
Yeah, some things because of the standard. I think it's a really important point. You know, like deviations tend to come very quickly, I sense. You know, only somebody is like a little bit sensual or does not know exactly what is the standard, then... you know, this deviation can be like a cause of, like you're saying today, there's so many different tendencies in ISKCON, and even to the degree that some devotees, even older ones or new ones, they wonder, is this really Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON? So, like, as far as I understand, you know, we show our integrity and loyalty to Srila Prabhupada, and also our surrender by accepting even the smallest like details, you know. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so I just said that when we really want to show our loyalty and integrity and be in line with the process of devotional service, like it's all about accepting even the smallest details, you know, like how to, I don't know, you know, what you wear, you know, because nowadays so many women like to dress in gopi dress, but as far as I understood, you know, gopi dress is meant for the small girls, you know, and women actually are supposed to dress in saris, you know, so there's like plenty of details. I mean, I don't want to criticize, I'm just saying there's so many things. So if one really wants to, you know, follow Srila Prabhupada, and because all of us, we are like responsible for representing Srila Prabhupada in ISKCON, and we are the next generation, so we need to take care of the standards too. It's like, yeah, something which I like to say. So we can just, you know, I would just want to inspire everybody to follow as much as possible, you know, and just be aware that, you know, we can show our gratitude and love for Srila Prabhupada also in that way by, you know, following him more closely. So.
I guess it's not such a good idea to hand it around because it does make a lot of noise. Sorry about that. But I just thought it would be good to let the people... maybe I can repeat a little bit important points that anybody else has to say. Thank you for that, Tulsi. Anybody else? Yes, Manu. I'm not sure. Anybody else have any ideas? I mean, if you look on. any site that talks about Indian religion, I'm sure you can find them. There's so many branches. I don't know if it's directly related to this, but there's so many branches of, or ideas about what God is, especially in India. It's wild. What about, do you have some ideas of some of these, Jagopal Babu? Yes, I mean, I know one person who's been regularly attending programs in our movement for decades, and like Prabhupada was saying, that they don't agree with what's being said. They have their own ideas. He was saying this in the purport here. They even deride. So this person comes, and sometimes when devotees repeat Prabhupada's strong statements, person either laughs or rolls their eyes, and this person is very attached to the whole hippie scene. So that's when I was reading this, I was thinking, you think of who, you try to relate it to people that you know and try to understand, or you look in your own heart and you see your own hippie tendencies, which is like, tune in, turn on, drop out. So Prabhupada he respected that these people wanted a change, but he knew they were barking up the wrong tree. You know this expression, barking up the wrong tree? If the cat's in that tree, sometimes the dog thinks it's in that tree. So he's barking in this tree, but the cat's up that tree. So similarly, sometimes people want spiritual life, but they're barking up the wrong tree. And so they like to take a little bit from here and a little bit from there, a little bit. But in order to advance spiritually, one Prabhupada says one has to find a bona fide tradition and follow it. That it's just like there was this one, maybe you've heard of this Thomas Merton. He was a modern day saint in the Christian tradition. He passed away quite suddenly. He went to India. Actually, I think he even died in India there in a car accident. But when he was young, he used to be eclectic. And he was trying to explain this to his aunt and uncle, that he likes to take from this tradition and from that tradition and put it all together. Pardon me? Oh, it means you just choose from wherever you like, and you just make that part of what you like to do. And he was talking to his uncle, and he was in France, he was raised in France, and but the uncle looked at him, at his aunt, and go, "Mais c'est impossible." You can't just choose here, there, and everywhere. You have to find a bona fide path, and you have to follow if you're serious about spiritual life. So we've chosen this tradition, and we respect anyone who seriously follows their tradition. We are also quite aware of what a deviation is in any tradition, just like Prabhupada, when he would talk to Christians, he would say, "What about do not kill, thou shalt not kill?" So he said he was so generous. He was very kind, grateful to North America and the West who had received him so well and had facilitated so much of his preaching. He even said, "Isn't there any other kind of meat they can eat besides the cow?" So it wasn't that Prabhupada isn't criticizing just to put someone down or to, but this is sadhu's cutting, and he. Cutting for the sake of, like a surgeon cuts, right? A surgeon cuts away the rotten part so that the other part can be allowed to heal. Yes, ready, Boo. Yeah, Arjuna asked Krishna the same question, right? Remember? He said there's people that have different kinds of faith, and what is the... So Krishna told him, there's so many people are influenced by so many different modes of nature, and according to their modes, they adjust. They either adjust their own tradition or deviate in their own tradition, or they make a new tradition. It's to fulfill the desires of those who want to enjoy the material world. And the whole material world is meant for the purpose of rectifying a mentality that's devious by nature, deviating from the idea that Krishna is the enjoyer. So what we need is to hear from pure devotees, and they will clarify our vision. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that a person who has begun to advance in spiritual life, whatever religion he's born into, he automatically rises above the ritualistic principles, and he becomes attracted to what is the essence of spiritual life, which we know is love of God. Is that all right, Freddie? Or does that seem too extreme to you? Yes. Yes. It's very interesting when we go to interfaith projects, it's very rarely talked about loving God. It's all about peace in the world, or poverty, or war, or ego, or getting to that essence. Even Krishna himself says it's very, very rare. But that's the point. And if that point is in place, then everything else that religion has to offer will automatically follow. But if it's otherwise, it's considered watering the root of the leaves of the tree and not the root. If it leads to, like, I mean, I when I was in the college, I was reading different Christian saints, and a person who's very serious about a bona fide tradition, he comes to the realization that, for instance, you're not the body. So one of these Christian saints, she was saying, it seems that people think that they are their body. It's as if people think they are their body. She was very realized. She understood there was a difference between herself and the body. And she was kind of just like Prahlad Maharaj, when his teachers were telling him about friends and enemies, he was saying, oh yeah, I heard about this before, but now I see, because he heard about it in school. And then his father was talking about, you know, if you're a devotee of Vishnu, you're my enemy. And Prahlad, oh yeah, I heard about this, because he didn't have that vision. He saw everybody as part and parcel of God, of Krishna. So people who are very advanced, they naturally are drawn towards the spiritual vision and developing it. And that can happen in the sense that whatever situation you're born in, if you've made advancement, you'll be drawn. Just like people come to the Krishna Consciousness Movement from so many different traditions, and people take up the process of advancing in love of God in other traditions also from so many different backgrounds. But if you've understood the essence, it's to love God and to see everyone as part and parcel of Him, to see everything as His energy and how to engage that in His service, then that can take place. But what's really wonderful about the Vaishnava tradition, especially the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, is that it's being made very much available to everyone. And there's technique, and there's step-by-step guidance, and there's measuring, check and balances. And the highest love, which is the love between Radha and Krishna, is even available. Knowledge of that and possibility to enter into that is very extraordinary. That's why we are attracted to it, even if we feel ourselves very far from that goal. That's, some people find other expressions of the divinity of the Lord attractive, like this whole drama of the idea that God became man, and people get really into that, and they... I always found it a bit confusing. Actually, the reason, that's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. From the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we understand that Lord Shiva was asked to take birth and preach a philosophy that would cause people to become confused and increase the suffering in the world. That was one aspect, so that people would be, because that's part of the Kali Yuga, that's one thing. And the other thing is, there was another reason for him teaching that. He wanted to get back the authority of the Vedas, but Buddhism was being taught, so people had this impersonal conception. So if he had jumped immediately into the idea of the personal form of God, people would not have been able to get their faith back in the Vedas. So whatever Krishna does, And whatever he has his devotees do, it can act as a double-edged sword. For those who are attracted to certain aspects, they will get confused, and those who want the truth will move on further. But there's a whole history of how we've gotten to the point of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So it's like a flower opening up, or the way nature works. Everything evolves in certain steps. Otherwise, people can't assimilate it. But one thing is, Krishna told Arjuna, the person who does good is never overcome by evil. And Krishna was speaking specifically about the ultimate good, which means wanting to know the truth about our existence. So even if one becomes deviated, if one is very sincere, I mean, like philosophically, he will become dissatisfied with, for instance, impersonalism. Or so many people come to our movement because they weren't satisfied with this impersonal understanding. They wanted more. Anybody else have any thoughts on that? Yes. That's why in the Bhagavad Gita we have what's called the yoga ladder. Different levels of advancement. Working with detachment and knowledge of Krishna. It starts with karmakanda, right? So it's a very scientific and progressive process to advance in love of God. Everything else is shadow. There's the essence, there's the substance, and there's the shadow. Yes, it's very confusing in this world. That's why we're very much encouraged to go out from, as Gaurav and Marsha say, get out from here. Go out. Last point? Should we stop here? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Prabhupada Nugas ki jai. Gaura Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.